The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself in the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhamma. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Tutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
I'm just so grateful for the practice. Just preparing to leave today after our training period again, just rises up huge gratitude for sharing by way of the Buddha and the monastery and the monks and Sangha. It's been an extraordinary experience. Every time it's been extraordinary, but it seems like this one was more extraordinary, but then that's the story.
I wonder if it just keeps deepening. Each time as we practice longer and longer, we see more and more, and we have sort of all the things, as you say, all the teachings that have been passed down to us from thousands of years, and our own practice builds, and with each time we're practicing, we're going deeper and deeper.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Deepens and deepens and deepens. And a couple of things that really came up for me this morning was, there's nothing wrong with your book, towards the end, there's a small little script that goes, nobody wants to grow up, and then every subsequent page, I think it's four times, it gets, nobody wants to grow up, the last kind of inscription of it. And it feels like through this practice and doing the master training for me, I've grown up. And I can take care of myself. And no matter what is presented, no matter what life brings me, whether it's a work assignment or it doesn't matter, whatever. Notice posted, trepidation sometimes. It's like, it's so beautiful, this practice, that it has taught me that I'm out of this moment of experience, which forever the voices told me I was inadequate.
Yeah, and it's interesting the way you lay it out, because before we do that process of growing up, we are putting small parts of ourselves, little people, out to deal with these difficult experiences, to deal with life. And they're not equipped for it. So it's easy to see where we get the idea that I'm not adequate to this, because the wrong person is being sent out to it. But as we begin to realize there is a grown-up in here, there is someone who's perfectly adequate to all of this, so that grown-up can be the person who interacts and works in life, and can also care for the little part, so they don't have to be the ones who are doing those things.
Right, yeah. And the recording and listening has been huge. Just a huge piece for me. Yeah, I do it diligently. There isn't. I was looking at my files yesterday, and we started in November, where it was encouraged to do it daily. And I haven't looked at over 300 files. I have not missed it. Multiple recordings in each day sometimes, and it's just. And I know when I slip into the dark room and I get identified, I just reach for that recorder.
Yeah.
And I put it on, at least I have that much. It's sort of like I'm drowning, the life preserver's there, and I can at least grab the life preserver instead of before I would drown in self-hate for a while or conditioning.
So the recording practice is sort of being a life preserver for you. So the times where you do start to feel like you're drowning back, maybe getting identified with conditioning, that the recording and listening is a chance for you to remember, it's something for you to reach for, a support.
Yeah, deep support. And I just had such a fun experience last night. The last 3 or 4 days, integrity has been coming up for me. Integrity, integrity. And it was about 9:45, and I was dog dead tired, and I was just under the covers, just, and I've been noticing life's been dropping in messages, mm-hmm. and conditioning our stories or our sentences or, you know, pronouns. The life is usually one or two words, and it's pretty subtle. Mm-hmm. And when it goes, solar panels, 9:45, and you're snug in your bed, and you go, oh, life, I didn't strap those babies down. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And the story was, well, you know, it's not breezy at night. My guidance was, the winds really can get blown off. But, you know, who knows, right?
That's right.
You get a typhoon come through, and Todd's picking up solar panels down by the shop the next morning. It's not a pretty sight.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't a much. It wasn't. It was such a little conversation. Right. I just got up.
And it's such a more pleasant, joyful way to live, isn't it?
It is.
To just, instead of lying there in bed for who knows how long.
It could have been a while.
It could have been a while. And really, you're tired and you're ready to go to bed. So let's get to it. Let's get up, get the solar panel strapped down, and get back in bed.
Exactly. I used all 10 minutes exactly once I got up. And one last thing that's just really struck me the other night when Sherry was talking about there's no detail too small in practice to attend to. And that's just that I got it on my recording listener that night, and I've heard it a few times, and it's like I was chopping those roasted peppers, and they had those tiny little seeds. You know, and you feel like you clean them out a couple times, and you get to that last one, and you look in the bowl, and there's one kind of hiding towards 3/4 to the bottom, and you dig it out. That little seed that, well, it's in a giant casserole. Is anyone going to see it? It doesn't matter. I saw it.
It counts. It matters. Everything matters.
Everything matters. I love that. And it goes back to integrity. Yeah. And life drops in. Like when I walk past a piece of lettuce on the floor, the integrity goes, we'll pick that up.
Yeah.
And you turn around and you pick it up. Because it's integrity.
And it's the process of life.
Yeah.
Right? It's not about the tiny little content. So this one little seed, this one little piece of lettuce, I mean, really big deal. But it's all the process. And so, I mean, it's what you practice is what you have. So if I'm practicing caring, then I have caring. If I'm practicing, well, who cares? That one little thing doesn't matter. Then I'm practicing, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. And you're talking about, I'm not loving you guys, so true. Thank you very much.
Wanda. Well, I want to say first that some of my most favorite walks have been in the middle of the night after waking up and getting information that something needed to be attended to. Getting up and coming. I mean, it really is. I always appreciate the walk as well as having gotten the information. But
and I wonder if part of that is that you get to walk in care because you're taking care. You're choosing to, okay, I hear the information that life is giving me. I'm following the call, and in that I'm cared for.
Yeah, and it's also the only way I'd ever get back to sleep. Don't forget that. Yeah. But I wanted to also express gratitude, and it's for the email class piece of this practice, which is just opening giant Pandora's boxes in a very good way for me. So the personality typing that we're looking at through an email class. Through discovering what I am, which is a 9, after years of having believed something else, reading as I go along, the reason I thought I was something else was that I was doing the addictive behavior of the 9 at the time I thought I was being somebody else. You know, it's just, it's like so many things really drop in and make sense, and then I'll see, that I see how that works. And then remember all these other times when that played out. And it all kind of fits together in such an exquisite way.
It's another tool to really see ourselves reflected. And as we often talk about with something like the Enneagram, where it's another way to see that it's not me, it's not personal. It's just this thing that happens. And as you're saying, when you really get to see, well, this is my type, and this is what was going on all those times, I was going to the addictive behavior of that type, oh, that makes sense.
Makes all kinds of sense. And now we have the subtypes that all fit in, and I can see myself in all of them. So it's just, and seeing it exactly in a way that is disidentified and being able to well, I want to say glean information, but it's more than that. It's a level of acceptance.
Yes.
It's a deepening awareness.
Yeah.
And how this being has been trained to be this lifetime.
And when you say that, you know, being able to disidentify from it and see it, it reminds me so much of the work that we just did this whole last week in the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, mm-hmm. of being able to see it with no self-hate.
Yeah.
Just simply see it.
Yeah.
And how in that, there's nothing really to do about it. There's nothing. It's just awareness. And in the awareness, we begin to have some choices about it.
Yeah. And the seeing, it kind of has to be impersonal in the context.
Yeah.
Which offers acceptance just automatically.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's something that really feels like it's demonstrated in the There's Nothing Wrong With You work, in that just simply seeing it is the thing that brings up the compassion and the acceptance.
Yeah.
Especially for the being who has been trapped in that all these years with the self-hate, believing it is me and it does mean there's something
wrong. And this
about
is what's
me.
Wrong. And much gratitude to all of the people who are making the Enneagram possible.
Yeah. Alex?
I wanted to, something that started the conversation off about no detail too small and taking responsibility and being a grown-up. It's interesting, I'm watching, I've had a little workshop over the course of, you know, say about a week or two, mm-hmm. where it feels like what happens is there'll be a perception that stuff shifts, you know, like people leave, people come and go, and all kinds of like situations just change.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, it's like if there is a perceived vacuum, it's like it almost, and like, so if there's a grown-up that I perceive is here, then I don't have to be a grown-up, is the way the situation, the kind of karma plays out,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, oh, okay, this is the structure that mm-hmm. we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched in the course of, you know, just a few days, it's like the level of responsibility I felt for what it is that I was, you know, asked to do or called
mm-hmm.
to do,
mm-hmm.
just naturally falled into.
Just naturally
falled into.
Uh-huh.
Like it switched back again to, you know, like, okay, it's the assumption that someone else sees or knows or is taking this. It's like, it's almost like, mm-hmm. you know, the parents have it basically.
Uh-huh.
You know, they see all the details and stuff like that. I just kind of go along and do stuff.
So if I'm tracking, when you perceive, when you're projecting
exactly.
that there's an authority
that's
out
correct.
There,
mm-hmm.
that, well, you project it's an authority.
Correct.
That there's kind of a relationship with that of like, oh, okay, they've got it.
That's
but
right.
But then when that's not there, when you're not projecting, when you're projecting that's not there,
that's
there's
right.
more of a, what, stepping into the responsibility?
Exactly. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the grown-up shows up and it's funny because it can actually flip over to the other side of the duality, almost
uh-huh.
like it's not, it may not even be a grown up, it may just be like
yeah.
someone kind of taking charge and.
Yeah, a little kid who thinks, okay, now it's all up to me.
Right. I gotta get the handle of this plane because it's gonna go down or something like that.
Which
or,
is a really, I don't know if that was your point, but that's a very interesting, subtle place to look, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? The difference between just a centered grown up who's coming forth in both cases, because
both
of course
cases,
we always want the centered grown-up to be there.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether there's a quote authority around them or not,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's just each of us letting life live through us
yeah.
and playing our part.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, is there this little guy on the one side who's like, well, mom and dad are here, I don't have to worry about it. Or mom and dad aren't here, I better do something about this.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's really good because in both situations, the kids really need to stay out of it. You know,
it's back to Todd's point.
It is really
yeah.
back to Todd's point. It's totally back to Todd's point. And so it's like I think that's what why I think I so much admire the place of like just that integrity, because
yeah.
it really doesn't rely on a perspective
yeah.
or a
mm-hmm.
point of view, yeah, point of view, mm-hmm. I can just keep some, like, more words for perspective, but it's mm-hmm. like, it doesn't rely on a personality to do any of it. Uh-huh. It's just a kind of like, well, of course that's the next thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, or this is called up, and so, you know, anybody would do that.
Yeah.
You know, almost like that kind of language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That, I don't know if this is exactly what you're saying, but just letting life inform.
Yeah. And it does. You know, I even watched it this morning. Life informed. I looked over, and of course, it's like, is there the projected authority? Yeah. And it's like, okay, well.
Huh.
And it's like that. It's amazing how it how pervasive it is in yeah. the sense of like, well, if there's, and if there isn't, then, you know, I don't know. It's just something I'm gonna be working with, because I think, you yeah. know, maybe kind of tying into the Enneagram part, mm-hmm. it really does feel like it's related to the kind of don't rock the internal boat, and so. It's,
which goes with your Enneagram type.
Which one goes with my Enneagram type, exactly. Uh-huh. It's like, yeah, like it's amazing how much of it is so tied into the assumption that this is the way life works.
Yeah.
You know, until things shift around and
yeah.
it's presented. You know, yeah. I can see it clearly, what's yeah. going on.
And as you say that, it's so obvious why something like the Enneagram is such a helpful tool. Because so, in your case, if you see that part of your Enneagram type is don't rock the boat, and that begins to be an awareness you're carrying with you all the time, then you see yourself going to that, no, don't rock the boat, you can realize, oh, that's just my Enneagram type.
That's right.
Filter. Not everyone sees it that way, so I bet you there's another way to see this.
Yeah.
And then we can just let that go and let life inform.
Exactly. Yeah. I just said something about like that today was like, I'm going to allow the channels to be open, because
uh-huh.
I think so much of it is locked yeah. up by the that kind of like level of stuff
yeah.
that is projecting things on life
yeah.
that aren't there.
Yeah, and what's great about that, you know, my intention is to allow the channels to be open, is what I hear in that is, and I don't know how that's going to happen.
I don't know.
That I'm going to leave that part to life.
Yeah. I'm just going to allow myself to be surprised and see how that shows up today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amy. Well, I wanted to share this morning because I've been going through a challenging time.
You're going through a challenging time,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh.
And I can feel some isolation and separation starting to happen
mm-hmm.
With that.
That's what conditioning wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that just evil? So we're having a hard time, and so it preys on that.
Mm-hmm.
Conditioning preys on that. So it tries to isolate you and separate you
mm-hmm.
to be able to make the most out of that
mm-hmm.
instead of what you're doing this morning to say, hey, I need some support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been looking at, I think, something along the lines of what was just talked about having a grown-up present
mm-hmm.
And how there are times when that's not the case and there's someone there who's just not being taken care of.
So like the some not grown up, some little person
mm-hmm.
is in a situation that she essentially shouldn't be in
mm-hmm.
and she's not being cared for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so unkind
mm-hmm.
for her to have to be there. Yeah.
And then there's also the experience of sort of having that experience and being with it, which is a little different than just being it.
Quite different, really, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yeah.
Where the it's what the sensations are and the meaning is stress, anxiety, overwhelm, all of this sort of energy that's that there are times where all of that's happening and I've thought to myself that I'm really identified, although I'm thinking I'm really identified.
Yeah. So there's a level of disidentification, mm-hmm. because to be able to even see that, mm-hmm. to recognize all that's going on in my body, the sensations are there, and to be able to see I'm identified is a level of disidentification.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting place of sort of just barely step out of it, enough to know I see what's going on, but I'm still kind of in it.
And even though, this is my experience at least, and I've heard Sherry talk about this a lot, even though it doesn't necessarily feel better in that place, and I really want the other place where I'm completely disidentified and I don't have those sensations anymore, it's such a useful place in practice because there's so much awareness that happens in that place, so much kind of seeing how conditioning is operating, how it's causing me to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
So there are times where it just is your whole experience.
Mm-hmm.
There's that anxiety, stress, overwhelm. It just, mm-hmm. that's all that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the times where that's going on, and you realize that's going on, and you realize I'm identified.
Mm-hmm. And so what I've been looking at is how to support myself through that, and I've been having and it might not be coincidental, I've been having a lot of success with keeping a commitment in the early morning to get up at a certain time and do these practices, and I've been sticking with that even through the complete overwhelm where the karmic tendencies just pull the covers back over my head and jump out of bed. And
yeah, this might not be a coincidence.
But it feels like it's getting me more at other times.
Yeah.
Like that time is becoming a bit of a refuge for me.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
And now it's late at night.
Late at night that it's getting you,
instead
of early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It almost would have to do that, wouldn't it? To find something else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, ways to maybe bring more structure to that part of my day as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Structure and kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow, and just what came through as you said that, a little acknowledgement. Yeah, for the what a breakthrough it is to have that refuge that didn't used to be there. And that's such a great description of what happens for us in practice. You know, when we first start practicing, the scales are so tipped against us. You know, almost most of our time is conditioning's time, if you will. It's got us. And then as we practice, the scales begin to tip, and that's such a great example of it, to realize there's this whole time in your day that used to be conditioning, and it's not anymore. And so no wonder it's got to really kick up a storm at some, in some other place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth, did I see your hand?
I'm not sure you did.
I might have made it up to
grab the moment.
Okay.
I was
in an interesting situation on Friday. I meet with a group of women that, who are all older than I am, and we write about our lives, and we meet it, and it's really great. Mm-hmm. And one of them started coughing, and so two went out in the kitchen, and I came out, and my friend Shirley said, oh, would you mind giving Diana the Heimlich maneuver, because I'm not strong enough. And so I did. And she just, you know, recovered right away. And later on, she thanked me for saving her life, and I thought, you know. And I thought, oh, I just did what Shirley said. And she said, well, you did it perfectly. You pulled up, you know. And I've never done it before. Never had training. And I was just thinking when Alex was talking about, well, Shirley was so calm when she said, oh, would you just give Diana and
you wouldn't mind. You have a minute.
So, and the thing was that when Alex was talking, I thought, I don't have, the reason I don't want to be an adult is that I don't have a good, for the most part, I don't have a bunch of adults around me that are like worth being like. They're usually drunk or yelling at somebody, or those are two prime examples. Mm-hmm. Or just, you know, really selfish. And why would I want to be like that?
Yeah, right. If that was what you were modeled, if that's what an adult was, why would I want to be like that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, after Alex, I know I'm hanging around with the wrong people.
Except for Shirley.
Yeah.
Because they're not grown-ups.
No.
They might be adults, but they're not grown-ups.
That's the thing, isn't it? Yeah. But I don't have that that image in my mind of what a grown-up is. Mm-hmm. So how could I want to be one? Mm-hmm.
And yet, I bet if you reference your own experience, somewhere in there, you do have a sense of that.
Yeah, I mean, I have my mentor who speaks to me.
Exactly.
But
and she's a grown-up.
Apparently.
Yeah. That's what she says, seem to indicate that, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is so amazing, isn't it? I mean, that's the thing that I think strikes people so much about the recording and listening, is to realize, wow, there's a grown-up in here, and always has been. Like, just a sense of knowing, you know, it's hard to even put words to it, but knowing what's right for me, knowing how to care for this person, knowing, you know, all this garbage that's out there, in a sense, it's knowing what isn't a grown-up. And so from that place, you can really see, gosh, that is inside of me.
Yeah. I remember once, Sherry talking to somebody on one of the CDs, somebody said, she said to somebody, well, you know, you're just going to have to get a new group of friends. And it's kind of, I'm having that kind of experience, so mm-hmm. just, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, great, thanks.
Nikki. I was thinking about the three particular ways I've seen lately that I have seen how that practice works and how practice works.
That it works and how it works.
Right. Okay. And it really fits in with the gratitude people have been expressing this morning. And, and one of them that really relates to it in a way Wolf just said, I was looking at how great playing for recording and listening, and I had this experience kind of in last night or the night before where when I was going to bed and doing my recording, I had the thought to ask if any of the little people in me wanted to say something. Mm-hmm. And usually I talk and then the mentor talks. And I thought, well, maybe one of them has something to say. Mm-hmm. And this one that is a long-standing identified part of me that I've called Safe Sally, who is just so good because she's trying to make sure nothing happens to her. Mm-hmm. And she spoke up. I mean, she doesn't speak up very often. She's very quiet because she really doesn't want to call attention to herself. Mm-hmm. But she said, I just wish I had some grown-ups in my life who weren't telling me what's wrong. Mm-hmm. She said, because actually, I don't really think it's as bad as they say.
But they're the big people.
But they're the big
and
people.
And they keep saying these things are wrong.
They're the only ones around, actually. Yeah. You know, they're the people I listen to all the time.
Yeah.
And they're always telling me that, oh, this is a problem, and that shouldn't be that way, and we need to be afraid about that. And, yeah. And she said, I just would like to live around someone who doesn't do that.
It's almost like she was taught to be afraid.
Yes.
To feel unsafe.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like for her,
yeah.
It didn't seem so bad.
Right.
But all the big people are saying there's all this bad stuff, so it must be that way.
Yeah, so she was taught to be afraid, and then she was taught how she thought she should be in order to be safe.
Wow.
Which doesn't work anyway.
Right. Because all those things were never wrong to begin with.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And so she just wanted to be around grown-ups who weren't telling her everything that was wrong and bad and scary. And,
So, it really ups the ante for me to be that grown-up.
Yes.
Yeah. For her.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Can you say a little more about that?
Well, I have in me the one who can be that grown-up, who doesn't say those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being a 6 on the Enneagram, that's the kind of voices I hear all the time.
Right. So 6 is a big thing, is fear.
Yeah. This is wrong, this is a problem, that should be, I know what she's talking about.
Yeah. Boy, and it's another really good example of just seeing her clearly is the thing that calls out that wanting to be the grown-up for her.
Exactly. And another place where I was really seeing practice was in using the teachings and the books we have available. So this week, this month, I decided to go back and do the 30 exercises from What You Practice Is What You Have.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing the very first one where you go back to an imagery that's in the book about imagining you're having the life you've always wanted, and picture yourself there, and you've got all the money you need and the job you want, or you don't have to have a job or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's all
just right. What does that feel like? And
mm-hmm.
So I'm there and I'm picturing it, and I thought, actually, that is the life I have. I'm trying to improve on this, and I can't. Except for one place where it said, except that, I live in this hot, dry, dusty, unrelenting sunshine, and I need some weather, I need some place that has weather all year, not just 6 months out of the year, anyway, so I tried to improve on that, and I tried to picture, better places to live.
Yeah.
And I said, better when I came up with it, was something wrong with that?
Yeah.
I said, then maybe actually where I am is fine.
Yeah. It's funny, just this morning I was remembering someone who was here from England and remarking on, there are no clouds in the sky.
I love England. They have clouds all the time. Maybe I could just give up the stories about how I'm not having the life I want. Because clearly I am.
And how big that is, that I could have exactly the life I want, but if my attention is on the conversation about how it's not just right, then that's what I have. That's what I'm practicing.
Yeah.
But what it sounds like you realized in that is I want to practice receiving the life that I do have.
Yeah.
Which is true for all of us all the time. Because we can. We can always have the life we want on the level of process when we see what we want. I want peace, I want well-being, I want whatever it is. There, I'll practice that. There, I have the life I want.
Yeah, I was reading a line in the book the other day about these two people were talking, and they said as they turned their attention to beauty, they saw the world became even more beautiful. And the final thing, more practice, I really was seeing at work was in the reflective listening writing program. And I actually had a call this morning with one of my buddies, and who was also in the email class, and it turns out he's my same Enneagram type. And so she was talking about her processes around these couple of things, and I went, oh my God, she was channeling me. It was just like, I had never seen my process so clearly spelled out as when she was talking.
Wow.
And I thought, it really isn't just me, is it? I mean, it's like, how can someone else who lives in a whole different place mm-hmm. whom I've never met, who is in a different circumstance, does different work, is not my age, lived a whole different life than I did, and she has two things in her life that I could have repeated word for word.
Wow, gosh, that's all good.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It is not personal.
It is not personal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, great gratitude for all the opportunities we have,
mm-hmm.
for all the ways in which we can
yeah.
see things if we're willing
yeah.
to step up and see things.
That's right, to have things reflected in that way all yeah. the time from all these different angles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
cool. I can relate to that. I did that same exercise in that 30-day retreat room in the middle that said, wait a minute, this is the life. Yeah, but it's just so great to step back and do that yeah. because
we could miss it.
We could miss it. Because, yeah. like, you know, conversation that wants to come up all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, if only this was different,
yeah.
that was different. Da, da, da. And I am the personality type that doesn't want my boat to get rocked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just in a conversation with the guy this week that I was reminded that only... it's ego that doesn't want to get its boat rocked.
That's right.
And
it's ego that doesn't want to get its boat rocked.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, the place I want to sail this craft is right into the store.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. What was it, Transform Your Life or a Peace Quote, and the one about, I don't know, I'm going to sail this ship. You know, I want to test it out.
Yeah.
I've got this ship. I'm going to go test
yeah.
it out. And see what it can do, and I'm not going to keep it in the harbor.
Yeah, because boys, lots of years of keeping it in the harbor, and, you know, packing around and going, well, it looks like it might be a little stormy. Watch TV.
The irony is that in that harbor is where all the suffering is.
Exactly.
Safe harbor of suffering.
What's held up to me as that is the incredible suffering that's just going to be so awful is
yeah.
the gateway. So that peace,
yeah.
you know, that
yeah.
being is
yeah.
Always wanted.
Yeah.
And so to just wow, to just see that and it's not possible to sail into that storm without the mentor. You
yeah.
know, be in there to just.
Because if you did, that would just reinforce that it's not safe. We can't do that. We can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you go in there with a mentor, it's completely fine.
Yeah.
Whatever happens.
Right. 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 just amazing. And what, you know, also what's coming up a lot for me is that, you know, that you will do for a lot of others, but you have to do it for yourself. Mm-hmm. She probably would never sail into that storm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If it was just for the eye, just, you know, for this team.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm willing to do it for a bigger, a bigger picture in mind and realizing that, you know, also what came up in the retreat, you know, so much of our suffering comes because we're trying to protect an eye that doesn't even exist.
Yeah, so to realize that the I would never choose to sail that ship out there straight into the storm.
Yeah.
But to see what a great act of service that is to the being
mm-hmm.
and to all of life.
All of life.
That calls up the, I don't know what you would say, the courage, the willingness
yeah.
to do it.
Yeah.
And in that, to get what you actually want.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is. It comes up again, it's the hero's journey. You know,
it's
like
journey.
The hero's always going,
I mean, do I have to be the hero?
Yeah,
I don't get somebody else going to that whole thing. I
you know, I just way too much.
And that's so, I don't know if I can quite say it, but of course, who she is the hero.
Mm-hmm.
Who she is the hero. And so we cling to that, everything I do is for the eye, and there isn't one, and in that is the inherent suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually am the hero, and so that's the only thing that brings me that joy of authentically being life. That's who I am. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what brings all of us to that place,
yeah,
of being willing to,
just risk it.
It's that call, you know, mm-hmm, what you're seeking. Mm-hmm.
Causing you to sleep? That's not the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just seeing that in the earlier share, you know, it's not, it can be those little things like, you know, waking up in the morning and staying with that time that you set aside for yourself too. And, you know, that's failing to get us going.
Completely. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Just sticking to the course that we know is the thing, mm-hmm, that keeps us in practice, mm-hmm, keeps us here. That,
mm-hmm, the thing we know that really supports this being,
yeah,
despite, yeah, the weather forecast.
That's right. Despite the weather forecast, it's so good.
Yeah.
Because conditioning wants to control us with the weather forecast.
Yeah,
but if we get it, it doesn't matter what the weather is. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep doing this thing, mm-hmm, and we're free.
Yep.
Yep.
Boy.
Yeah. All right, we'll go up the study. Penny?
Lots of things. Just one thing that came up is you were talking about seeds, you know, just heard on my mind all the time these days.
Being a garden.
Yeah,
garden.
So two things came up. One is, you know, thinking about the seed as being so insignificant, and then thinking what it produces, you know,
that one little seed.
Yeah, and just being reminded, literally on a daily basis, of the good and the bad. I mean, you know, the size of what can come from that little insignificant seed. Just a reminder. It's a useful image for me. And one of the things that came up when that was mentioned about nothing's too insignificant was I was thinking about and how, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and go out and dust the solar panels or whatever. And so when I'm shopping in the monastery, I frequently have to get multiple things of one kind. And
16 bags of this,
yeah,
and 24 bottles of that.
And how periodically I'll get a bunch of stuff off the shelf on the bottom, and I think, wait, and I go back and I pull the next one up so the next person can see it. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's such a little thing, and it's such a huge thing.
Yeah.
It just, and it's just so interesting how if I forget it or I sort of blow it off, I can't get to that next aisle, so I go back and do that.
The still small voice.
Still small
wait
voice
a minute.
Pull that, yeah, TLC cracker box for. So.
And the work we have to do to override that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's too much effort.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
And oh, that's so interesting because the effort is in having that conversation, isn't
exactly
it? The easy thing to do is to get up and move the solar panel.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So that was just resonating, and I really attribute that practice. I mean,
and
those little, how those little things make such a difference,
yeah,
internally, and then also in creating the state of social belief,
mm-hmm,
you know, so that the next person who comes along, yeah, isn't incapacitated, isn't inconvenienced. You know, you don't pass the suffering along.
Yes, mm-hmm, providing care for yourself and all of life.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But the other thing I was noticing when I was sitting and I wanted to kind of expose was, you know, one of the assignments in the 30-day retreat toward the end is, you know, which of these things, conditioning, self-hate, you know, urgency, all that, is sort of your biggest thing that pulls you away. And so I was watching while I was sitting just the ways that urgency operates for me. And the first is simply that, how hard it is when I'm sitting to focus on my breath. Because there are these things I have to think about. You know? That's part of the urgency of that. And then it sort of operates in two ways. One, that it just pulls me away during meditation from paying attention to the breath. But the thing that's so seductive, and I think this plays into my five, one of the ways that I feel like I'm a five is, as I understand it, fives like to kind of have a system for how things work. They like to figure stuff out. So when I get pulled off, it's not so much in the, this is a problem, or but this is, how is this going to work? How are we going to do this, you know?
Kind of looking for that system?
Yeah, looking for that system. And so it's pleasurable to the five. Uh-huh. You know, and that's what's much more
so it makes you feel, what, comfortable?
It's interesting.
Interesting.
It's so much more interesting than my breath. It's so much more interesting to figure out how I'm going to set up this chart. How, when we do this, then how, if we do this, then what comes next? And I can get so lost in that. Mm-hmm. But where the, and so it seems pleasurable, mm-hmm. but of course the hook at the end is, but then there's other things I've got to do too, and then how am I going to do, that's where, you know, that's
it
where.
Always ends
it always that ends in that. And so it's the way that urgency operates in me often is that it doesn't feel like urgency to start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels like something that's interesting and fun that I prefer, and then all of a sudden, there I am in the overwhelm.
Yeah.
And that is urgency.
Hooks you in with something you both like,
right.
And then pulls you down the road that ends in suffering.
Right, yeah. So it was just really interesting to see that. And also, you know, again, to see it in terms of, it feels like the particular way I get hooked does feel consistent with what I understand about the type I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again, so helpful to see that.
So helpful to see that.
Yeah. Right, I'm a five. That's what I would do. Yeah. Is I don't need to.
Right.
Yeah, I have a choice.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
In the beginning, there was a beginning of our conversation today was a talking about
can people hear?
You know, gratitude all the way back to the Buddha,
mm-hmm.
and so I've been seeing a teaching that has been a basic, you know, kind of foundation basic teaching since the beginning that I ever was heard one thing about this practice, which is being present is it. Being here. Being here, right here on my arm, it says here now. And, you know, that's been there for a long time, and the practice has been there for a really long time, and I'm just starting to really get it. Really get it that all the suffering exists because of being out of the present moment, which makes me then a separate being who then doesn't have what she needs because everything is available later in
the present.
In life.
That's the only
in the present.
Place it's available.
It's the only place that it's available. And how that has, you know, hearing about the present moment and all is kind of like, you know, some core place it lands and somebody knows that's true.
Yeah.
And then there's kind of like, yeah, but we have to do this and this and this, and then we'll get in the present moment kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's just like finally just kind of like, experientially getting that no, that's the suffering place. That's removing, that's pulling out of life and becoming a suffering being trying to get what she needs over there where she just left. I mean, I've heard all that forever.
Right. But it's different to have the experience of it.
Yeah, and it's not like I haven't had a lot of individual experiences of it, but it's kind of been like, oh, this is a special insight moment, or this is, but, you know, so there hasn't been the focus of attention and of putting myself into that being the place.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very... you know, very wonderful awareness to get, but, and so there's the huge gratitude there.
Yeah.
And the other thing that was brought up is, experientially it feels very hard to do that, you know?
To
let go of I and join all it is as a, you know, like a cell in the body of life, or the whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm getting, it's so hard to talk because
not
there's the I, who's right. getting something, is that it's a matter of not doing anything.
Yes.
It's a matter of relaxing into the moment where I'm not inadequate. I'm not lacking anything. Yes. I don't need anything. I don't want anything. Yes. I have everything.
Yes.
And that's a matter of letting go,
yes.
which is actually relaxing.
Yes.
Life has everything. It's in charge. It's doing it. I don't have anything to do.
Yes.
I just relax and be part of it.
Yep.
And accept all the blessings that are there.
Yep.
Wow. But then, you know, back into here, and then it's hard. It's like, I have to give up this. I want this.
Yes.
But, you know, it's becoming, you know, kind of clearer that's the work, is just relaxing and letting go of what I think I want.
Yeah.
And allowing life to give me, oh my God, usually way more than I could even imagine wanting.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and as you're talking, that image of allowing the water to, you know, to settle comes up, because it is in that relaxation, what I hear in that is stillness.
Yeah.
There's a stillness to
yeah.
it, where then you just are life, and you realize all those things.
And there's that realization, it's like the joy of intelligence knowing itself.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, and then you described it perfectly, and then it all, ego wants to stir it all back up again. Well, but I really want this, or whatever form it takes.
Yeah.
And can even that be held in that same relaxation?
That's it, just that one step more.
Yeah.
That's part of it, too.
Yeah.
That is part of life living, is that, Sadie probably doesn't have an opportunity, or they have the same kind of ego that I. But this particular incarnation, I'm a human being, and that's what human beings do. They can see themselves as separate, they can suffer, and so, okay, that's what I'm doing.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's happening. And that's part of it.
And that's part of it.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing of seeing it, what we've been talking about this morning, then that's the place where there's the ability to see it.
That's right.
And
yeah.
to embrace it.
Yeah.
Because it's not a person.
Yeah. Kind of a miracle.
It is a total miracle how the real duality is that what's real is just the opposite of what the I thinks is real, and what the I is constantly lobbying for us to believe.
Yeah.
You
it's
know?
Back to the everything I do is serving the I, and there isn't one, so no wonder I'm suffering.
You know,
I'm constantly being told the exact opposite of what is so.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's supported, you know. I mean, that whole system is kind of the milieu in which we swim.
Yeah.
And so it's reinforced.
Yeah. So again, to me, at least in my experience, the courage it takes to just let go into that relaxation that you're describing.
I think it's a process of, well, you know, a big thing for a number six on the Enneagram. The Enneagram six has trouble trusting.
Yeah.
Doubt all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Doubt, you know. What about So that's the challenge of the six, and that's where working on that is sort of a way to melt that in.
Yeah. It's like for each of us, the Enneagram can be a tool of seeing how this conditioning stirs the water back up. And so when we see the particular way it does that, it just makes it that much easier to see, because it can so, you're using that image of the water we swim in, it can be the water we swim in, and so we don't see it, we can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Enneagram can be a tool to, you know, have it pop up into relief. Oh, there, you see it. And that's how it's stirring the water back up. That's how it's pulling me back into suffering.
Yeah, there's some story about
the fish jumps out of the water and
right.
points to the other fish.
Right.
Yeah, that points to the fish. Back, back.
That stuff.
Yeah, that stuff. And then splash, you're back in.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, this has been a great conversation the whole time, and the whole morning. And I particularly, I mean, have enjoyed the boat image, because I'm one that of the type that doesn't want the boat rocked either, you know. So
a lot of boats trying to stay steady.
Exactly. And well, there's several things that when we were talking about this time, you know, with the letting go and you know, the rope tied to the moor or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just picturing how life most of the time cuts the rope, you know, even more than I
even
do.
That,
it can cut the
point.
Rope, and I get this
don't
image of
rope,
me
don't
grabbing onto the thing, you know.
Getting rope burns.
Exactly. And yet, the once it's going, the movement, you know, the movement is that movement of sailing. I mean, it's just so, and for me, the storm's all, it's like the gateless gate. I mean, you know, it's like, once you're on the other side, it's like, what storm? Kind of thing, you know, like it just is dissolved, and yet on the trepidation of having to think that there's something big out there is generally what's all there.
Like that is the storm.
That is the storm.
The resisting it and anticipating it, and it's going to be awful. And but once we're in the middle of it, it doesn't feel like a storm. It feels
like a lot of energy and a lot of I get all caught up into it and really enjoy it. And and then, you know, the thing always turns out. Whatever the out is, it's...
And the proof is that we're here, sitting here, talking today.
Exactly. And it's like, well, what was that all about?
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. So there was that. I've been watching the whole thing with the nine, the what can start moving the energy. And I was raised where, you know, taught not to be angry, because I was.
And we're taught not to be.
Right, right. I always said it was my red hair, I don't know. But, you know. And so I learned not to be. And when
well, not
I,
to express it anyway.
Not to express it. Well, until, yeah, there was a period I was here, as always happens, that...
here at the monastery. Here at the monastery. Which was an invitation to.
Took about 2 weeks. I mean, a pure anger, you know, and whew. So anyhow, but what I've noticed is, because I got angry the other day, and it's, you know, the kind of anger where, you know, it's here,
in your throat,
yeah, what we call anger, and rah, 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 the kind of thing, and
rah, rah, like a conversation,
a conversation, and every time I think of what happened, it would be back, kind of thing, and
don't forget how angry you are about that. Sort of.
Well, just that I think about what this person did and it would make me get that to that same feeling of urgency. So I just noticed that, you know, and eventually, you know, with recording and all this, you know, it went its way. But what the thing was for me then, I would notice these little, I was first calling them spurts of anger. That actually was like the, you know, like when you're lighting a fire, maybe with a flint or something, a little spark. And that's what would get me active. Kind of like, I'm just so tired, I haven't done that yet. And I do it. But when I'm kind of more seeing it as, when I was here, I was always called it the guide's proverbial kick in the pants. And that feels like kind of what it could be, you know, like the mentor just like, you know, giving me, I like to think of it that way, you know, they're kicking the pants to just get moving. Because it does.
So if I'm following what you're saying, instead of it turning into anger, it's just a spark of energy that gets you moving.
Yeah, it's not, it's not like the anger when I feel angry.
Uh-huh.
And yet I've always noticed it as kind of, or thought of it as anger in a sense, but it only, it's a flash.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is, it's the difference between being all caught in identity and, mm-hmm. and being, it's no upset, you know, like that's upset.
Uh-huh.
There's no upset, it's just this, I'm gonna get going kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And so anyhow, it's just been really interesting, in a sense, noticing those two different, almost in the beginning, same type of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But the second one doesn't land at all, it just moves and creates action.
Uh-huh. Would you say that it's sort of the difference between when you're here for it and when you're not? So it sounds like when you're here for it and there's that spark, it's just life coming through with energy.
Yeah, because that's definitely a real present experience.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, I was caught off guard.
Like,
it triggered. The other one triggered.
Yeah.
The stuff in me that is a condition, you know, I felt overlooked, underrated, you know, they had actually, the person had done a wrong process, you know, should have gone through me, went somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seemed, there was no thought in it, it just was there, but then I felt it caught. I felt the urgency I had to say something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and then it had the potential and actuality that put conditioning could rev it up and,
mm-hmm.
you know, keep it. It was an upset, and that's the difference.
Yeah.
The upset or the no upset.
Right, right. The suffering or the not.
Right.
Yeah. The one is just life coming through. The other is conditioning takes advantage of whatever's going on and creates suffering and upset.
Yes. And I almost, in the midst of this whole conversation, I see that also as just the snipping of the rope. The first, second one,
yeah.
you know, where it's just, I'm stuck in the harbor and then I can.
Yeah. It's back to what we were looking at earlier, where we wouldn't choose to snip the rope ourselves,
because
it feels too scary. The story is that it's going to be too scary out there. But life just goes, trust me, Phil, you're going to be way better out there.
And the out there could just be doing something I haven't done for, you know, a while that needs to be done.
Yeah.
It could be anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get her moving.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I've just appreciated noticing those things. And so grateful for the class and, of course, the practice, because, you know, without the practice, I wouldn't know there was a rope to snip.
Yeah. And even when the rope was snipped, we wouldn't get to have that experience, because we'd be so busy hanging on to it.
I'd be clinging on to that more, you know, the whole time. Yeah. Or as that Ibicharia has sometimes, one foot in the boat, one foot on the dock.
That's just really rubber.
Yeah.